Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Dixon.
Fancy Jay.
And this is the B Show, a wrestling podcast. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, my homie?
Good. This is one of the last times you're going to have a full head of hair.
I hate you so much.
No, you don't. You love me.
What sucks about this more than anything is that I even had my own kids and family and extended family and close friends all day texting me and giving me crap all this week. They all wanted me to lose. Everybody wants to see Fancy Jay rock the Mr. Clean look. And you know what? And I'll do it. And I'll do it in a sexy
it's
way.
It's the mohawk that's more important to me.
Yeah, the mohawk's just for a week, though. So, all right, so
I'm going to give you an out here.
Oh, gosh.
All right? Uh-huh. So, I heard through the grapevine that your female boss is going to be probably pretty mad when you show up to work for a week with a mohawk.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
Her direct underling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because evidently, you're the pretty boy of the crew. So,
okay.
Here's what I'm offering you. Since I was willing to get a tattoo and you were only willing to shave your head, I'll give you the option, and you don't have to get my face tattooed on you. You just have to get my logo, the lowercase D, the capital X, and the lowercase N, anywhere on your body that you want, in place of ruining your hair. I think that's it's a good offer. It doesn't have to be that big. 1.5 inches tall, 2 inches wide.
So do I have to make this decision right now?
Nope. You have until January 1st.
Until January 1st. So I either can get the logo or...
Tattooed permanently on your body.
Tattooed permanently on my body. Or you have heard through the grapevine that the people that I work with will be upset. Are they going to be upset with...
The people you work for, not the people you work with. The people that work with you
for, yes.
Want you to shave your head.
People I work for will be upset for even when I bick the hair or just
yes.
The mohawk?
Both, I think.
All right, I'll think about it. You know what? No, screw it.
Don't you want to remember that you lost to me forever by
no,
getting a tattoo with my name on you?
No, I'm not going to. First of all, I don't have one tattoo on my body. Not one. So my first
tattoo. Would be a great first one.
Which, by the way, you do have a sweet-ass logo. But I'm not putting that on there because somebody might be mad. I have a
what
right
if we
to
did
do
it
my
like
hair
Andy
whatever way
did
I want.
To Woody in Toy Story? We just do it on the bottom of your foot. Nobody will ever see it except for you.
Do you know how painful that would be? And
no, because I've never had my feet tattooed.
Yeah,
but
you know of it.
If you really think about it, it's one, two, three, four, five, six lines.
At the bottom of your foot. That's not going to be
fun. It might take a minute and a half to get it done.
And then how do I, and then I can't walk for a couple of days.
No, dude, six lines, six pieces of line work on the bottom of your foot. It might be, it'd be like you got stung by a bee for like the first day and then it goes away.
Here's the thing. I'm not one that likes to break the rules, a big rebel. But if that's the case, F that. I can do whatever the hell I want with my hair.
Okay, I'm just
in
saying.
And out.
I was trying to be a friend here, bro.
No, that's not F that to you. I appreciate that, even though you're giving me an option to put a permanent tattoo on my body, or it's 1 week.
Well, it just shows between the two of us who has a bigger set is all, because I was willing to get your face tattooed on me, on my leg. Where
how many tattoos do you have?
Probably like 40.
Okay. On your inner thigh. And what were you going to do with my face after it was on for a short amount of time?
Rub my wiener all over it?
No, that was going to happen during the short amount of time. After you rubbed your wiener on it and time expired, what were you going to do with that tattoo?
Get it covered up.
Okay, exactly. So the tattoo
same rules apply, bro. You got to carry it on your skin for 90 days and then cover it up with whatever you want.
I got to get another tattoo to cover up a DX. Nah, F that. Hair... That's what the bet was. If they get ticked off, I'm going to be rocking some winter hats and some Kangol hats and some summer hats. Like, I'll be good, man.
You know it's impolite to wear a hat indoors, right?
Really?
What happens when you go and see
a
client?
What are you
like
wearing right now?
You mean
when I go see a client?
Yeah.
I'll just say that I lost a bet. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I lost a bet. I mean, in my line of work, I mean, people expect some... You know, artistic people to walk in. I'll still be looking fancy, Jay.
Yeah.
And you don't think I'll be looking all sexy and dapper with no hair?
Not with a mohawk, no.
Well, with a
mohawk, you're going to look like you belong at like an after party dance club.
I'm good. Okay, for the record, I'm going to go back to the previous episodes. And if our listeners can, I do not remember where when we first agreed to this to a mohawk. That slowly transpired over the weeks.
We definitely did. Right. We definitely did because it started as a mohawk.
No, it always started that I had to bick my hair.
No. It started as a mohawk, and then a couple of weeks later, it turned into shaving your head after because I wanted you to keep the mohawk for a month.
Yeah. So do I go with the mohawk that's short on top where it's just like a little landing strip, super tight, or do I go with a mohawk where
I'd
it's
leave
like
your hair
long,
the length
rock
it is,
star?
And then we do it like hawk so that you have like the sideburn piece too that tucks behind your ear.
No, I'm not doing this.
Mr. T style, bro.
No, man.
And then that way you can keep the back too and grow a little rat tail.
Yeah, okay. Now I can understand why the people I work for would be upset with that. Nah, dude,
we'll get you a clip-on rat tail.
What's that?
We'll get you a clip-on rat tail.
A clip-on rat tail?
Yeah.
Listen, you can't hold an artistic person down. If I, like, what I want with my hair. I'm the pretty boy part of the team, so then I can't do stuff. I got to be, like, the corporate guy. That's what it is?
Well.
Psh, nah, man.
You get hired based on how you dress and look.
That's the reason why I was hired?
Well.
Was because of that? No, I got hired because I'm freaking awesome. Not because I hired it. There's so many better people out there.
You smell good
that...
pretty much all the time, too.
I what?
You smell good pretty much all the time,
oh,
too.
Thank you. That's like the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
It's like a weird mixture of, you know, like the ocean breeze and
yeah, it's all dirt. Natural. It's called Jason Miguel Viles. It is this new fragrance that I invented.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
All right, let's move on because.
But anyway, let's go to the fantasy football.
Truncated time schedule. Today.
Yeah, you beat me. You beat me in fantasy football. We were tied. We were tied, and with a minute and a half left, actually, I went up by 1 point, and then with a minute and a half left, freaking down 42-0. Todd Gurley scores a touchdown, mm-hmm. and between the yards and the touchdown, that puts you ahead, and you beat me 134-123, even though I finished higher than you in the regular season, beat you head-to-head in the regular season, and had more points than you. I have to shave my
head. You still lost.
And then now I might get fired. So,
oh, you're not going to get fired. They'll just send you home.
They're going to send me home.
It's like sweet. It's like
get a vacation.
Remember back in high school, you would wear like a T-shirt with a swear word on it, and they'd send you home for the day?
You know what T-shirts were banned in my high school? The Big Johnsons? Remember those T-shirts? It's like I got.
You're not that much younger than me.
The Big Johnson T-shirts, man. They were all banned. You couldn't wear those. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but that didn't exist until well after you were out of high school.
What are you talking about? No,
you're 4 years younger than me.
No, I am like 5 years younger than you.
It's like 4.5. When
yeah, but then in high school years and in trend setting, that those things were in the early 90s, mid 90s,
and you graduated high school in like 94.
Nope. Nice try.
Oh, that's right. You got held back a couple times. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's it. I got held back. No. Nope. All right. So there's that. I do want to give a little shout out to a fallen Canadian who I grew up with, who was like one of the coolest TV dads. Alan Thicke passed away, man. And sad because he's all over the place. I just heard him on the Dan Levitard show on ESPN. They had like these celebrity football pronosticators that come on weekly. And he came on, and, dude, he had a hilarious segment. And then all of a sudden, boom, playing hockey with his son. Gets a heart attack.
That's what you get for playing hockey.
It's sad. But did you know that he, by the way, if you don't know who Alan Thicke is, go and watch Growing Pains. Michael Seaver, he was awesome. He actually wrote the theme songs to Different Strokes and Facts
of Life. I had the biggest thing for Candace Cameron, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't see that her being your style.
Oh, God, yeah, dude. I love, like, the quiet, nerdy, booky.
Wait,
meek.
Candace Cameron?
Yeah, the girl that played the sister on Growing Pains. Isn't that Candace Cameron?
No, it's like Kurt Cameron was the older son in real life, and it was Candace.
It was the sister of the girl from Full House, right? No.
Kurt Cameron is the brother to the girl... Mm-hmm. On Full House.
Whatever the girl...
On Full House?
No. She was a little too...
The Growing Pains older
Kimmy
daughter.
Kimmy Gibbler, though.
What? Kimmy Gibbler? Oh, man. Your whole style just went out the window. By the way, have you seen Kimmy Gibbler on the updated Full House on Netflix?
No.
Dude, they've held it together, that cast, man. That's phenomenal. Like, 20-some years later, they all look that good. Props to them. Most people just, you know, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol.
Well, they're
age.
All nerds. When you hang out with Kirk Cameron that much, man.
He's like super.
Jesus bleeds in.
Oh, holy cow, is he hardcore. But yeah, so you like the. No, what the hell is her name? It's Tracy.
Smothers.
What? Tracy Smothers? No, dude. Okay, so why did you like her? While I looked this
she was
up,
just cute.
Really
she's
off.
A cute girl. I was around that same age, you know what I mean? Like late 80s, I was 14, 15 years old, and I think she was like 13, 14 years old. You know how I like them young. Not in a gross, like, pedophile way, but, you know.
Yeah, let's go on. I always thought the mom, Joanna Kearns, was like, ugh. She was so hot.
No.
What?
No, I don't like the permy, frizzy hair and the weird mom
yeah,
sweaters.
Yeah, but that was Tracy Gold, Carol Seaver. Dude, she was.
Show me the picture. Make sure I'm talking about the right girl here.
That would be hilarious if we just spent 5 minutes on a short show. She's the one that's right there. You see it?
Yep.
Yeah, Tracy Gold. She had a lot of.
She wanted it.
She's a crow, dude. She had a lot of issues on that show.
Maybe that's why I liked her, because she's troubled. Did she have a poor relationship with her father?
She had a lot of pressure, you know, with being a celebrity and being a woman with her weight. And, you know, she got into some unfortunate hard times.
Drugs?
I don't know about maybe with the drugs. It was more of like eating disorder, that type of thing.
That's awful.
So, anyway, Alan Thicke, just wanted to give a little love. I wanted to play Growing Pains, but the guy that I fired previously was their digital producer. I'm refiring.
Two of the top three TV theme songs of all time written by Alan Thicke.
Absolutely. What do you think? Different Strokes?
Different Strokes.
Facts of Life? Okay, and the third?
Oh, Charles in Charge.
Oh,
not
gosh.
His, though.
No, Charles in Charge was this show was so awesome. And he was hooking up with Nicole Eggert on the show.
Who Alan Thicke was?
No, Scott Baio on Charles in Charge.
Yeah, you know, can you name the album that Nicole Eggert posed nude on the cover of in the early to mid-90s?
Music album?
Yes.
No, I could tell you what movie, though, she was nude in with Corey Haim.
Well, I remember that, but
Blowout.
This was, yeah.
Check it out on your local.
Now you're being creepy. The album was called Lemonade and Brownies by a little band called Sugar Ray.
Really?
Yeah, she's like fully nude, blonde wig, hands and
that.
Knees.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go Google
pretty
that.
Sexy.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Sugar Ray? This was on
Sugar Ray. This was their first album. It was
before
Fly broke.
Okay.
They had a single off that album called Mean Machine that my band Dome actually covers.
Really?
Don't You Dare Mess With My Mean Machine.
You like that song?
It's long and green. No, long and slick and olive green. I don't even know the words. I haven't played it in so long.
You sing it?
Yeah.
Or does Joe sing it?
No, I sing it.
You sing it?
Joe plays bass.
Have you ever forgot words while you're singing a song?
Oh, God, yeah.
So
times.
What do? You just go blah, 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 blah.
No, you just kind of like, I pretend like there's something wrong with the wire in the microphone. Like,
so you bring awareness to it that, oh, crap, I just forgot it.
Yeah, but then I try and make the sound guy look like an asshole by being like,
you look at it and you're like,
faulty equipment. Now you know my secrets.
How often does that happen?
At least once a show.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always marvel how you guys can remember everything. So there's that. I do have, so fantasy, going to get fired. Thanks for making it an awesome weekend for me. Now that I'm going to worry about that. Here, okay, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I took this poll. I had a debate with my wife, and she was saying that when men want to go get tested for STDs, so say you don't have anything, you have no symptoms whatsoever, but you're like, I want to make sure that I'm clean, so I'm going to go get tested.
Did you cheat on your wife, bro?
No, dude, I did not. So goes and gets tested, and when you have no symptoms of any type of STD, men actively or ask for a cotton swab up their penis hole.
Urethra.
Up their urethra to take a sample. I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. No guy I have ever met has actively walked in and said, hey, you know, wait, hold on. Don't raise, put your hand down. Who's actively had no symptoms whatsoever and said, you know what, just to swab it and deal with that pain. Now, she said she had three guys, all friends, none of them that she was dating, that she went with or was in the car while they went and actively did that because they were active and they wanted to make sure they were clean. I said, that is absolute rubbish. So then I took a poll with my boys, and not one of them has ever done that didn't have to have it done. So you're telling me, as you raise your hand in class, that you actively went and got your penis swabbed?
Yeah, sometimes you, you know, you put it somewhere that you question afterwards, and in your drunken state, you forget to wrap it up, and you get real worried the next day based on some things you find out or whatever.
So you've walked into a clinic and said, I'm worried, swab me. Like, stick it in, swab it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. More than a half dozen times.
I did tell her if there's one person who did it, it would be you.
Oh, yeah.
More than a half dozen? Does it hurt?
It burns with the intensity of hell.
Jeez, man. I've never had to do that.
Well, you've lived a pretty monotonous and boring life.
I'd rather be boring than have to stick it in places where I don't remember, or they could be dirty and then have to go get it swabbed.
You never know, man.
Like, you don't. Absolutely.
Sometimes the filthiest whores are the most fun, and, you know.
So you just wrap it up.
Yeah, sometimes you forget. Sometimes you're too drunk. Sometimes there's not one available.
You've literally walked in and said, I need a swab.
Yeah, you go in and you say, hey, listen, I had some unprotected sex with a filthy whore. I'm going to need to make sure that I'm not infected with something terrible.
Okay.
You know, and you can probably, I'm going to stop there because I was about to say something so mean and
yes, let's not.
Yeah, let's just stop it right there before I get myself in trouble and tell an AIDS joke.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. Okay, so question then. If you do that, do you know other men who have done that? Because every guy I know said that they would never actively go in there unless they were showing symptoms of it. So of something where they're like, okay, I need to go get looked at.
They don't call it the silent killer for nothing, man.
They don't call what?
They don't call it the silent killer for nothing. You let chlamydia or syphilis go for too long, you can lose your sight.
Yeah, but you also have signs of a leaky faucet or some issues down there before it even gets
to
that
always,
place.
Not always, man.
Not always, yeah, you're right. But those are in like extreme rare cases.
It was how I found out I had the male version of HPV.
Holy crap, you're dropping some serious personal. Last week, I got so many comments about you coke at rehab at 19, you not being able to orgasm, and then...
I can. It just takes a while.
It just takes a while.
So let's clear that up right there, listeners. I have no problem climaxing, just sometimes it takes a little while.
It takes about the duration of a Godfather film, about 3 hours, and now you're saying that you have the male version of HPV?
Yeah.
This is like the dirtiest, most fun podcast ever.
I put it out there, man.
That's awesome. So how did you find that out? When
dick
they did swab. The swab, and they said you have the version of HPV?
Yeah.
But it's not the one that's cancerous? Like,
correct.
That's good.
Well, I also don't have a cervix to get cervical cancer from.
It causes cancer in men.
Oh.
It causes penis cancer, testicular cancer as well. Different strands of HPV.
Trust me, dude. I handle the boys frequently. I would know if they were misshapen or lumpy.
Wait. Okay. I got a would you rather later. So let's get into, since we can't do a 2-hour podcast, I know all you guys love it. Movie pick of the week. We're going to do a little Christmas thing. What are your top Christmas movies? Last week you talked about Home Alone being your all time favorite Christmas
Bad
film.
Bad Santa, hands down favorite. Everybody's
Bad
seen
Santa.
It.
Bad Santa. Uh huh.
And then my, I'm just going to give you one.
Okay.
Because we're short on time this week. But one of my most underrated Christmas movies of all time stars a guy I absolutely hate. For some reason, I love the movie. It's called Surviving Christmas. Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini, Christina Applegate.
Really?
I love that movie.
That movie's so bad.
I don't know why I like it, but I do.
Is that probably because it's bad, and that's the reason why.
Maybe.
Okay, go on.
That's it.
Just Surviving Christmas, the really bad one.
Yeah, Ben Affleck hires a family to pretend he's his family so he can impress some girl. And then he falls in love with Christina Applegate. I don't remember what her character's name, but then the real girlfriend comes back with her parents, and there's like this big incest joke at the end. It makes me laugh.
Speaking of one of your old films, North, right? North, no.
Nope.
Ed O'Neill movie.
Oh, Dutch.
Dutch.
That was my Thanksgiving pick.
Yeah, I got people talking about like, no, Dutch is actually really good. So it actually is on Netflix streaming, so I put it in my...
My queue.
So I will be watching that because you recommended it. My top Christmas movies, pretty much in no particular order, but it's a mainstay. I always have to watch Christmas Vacation. It's like the best. I know you touched on it last week, A Christmas Story.
Still
love it, but I can watch one time. Elf is...
I watch that year round. I don't even consider that a Christmas movie.
I literally laugh out loud like it's the first time I've seen it.
Joey reminds me of Buddy the Elf.
100%. Just super enthusiastic about everything.
Yeah.
I could see him putting maple syrup on everything he eats, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then, a little unconventional, Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. Always got to watch that during Christmas, man. Those are Christmas films. People put Gremlins in there.
Gremlins definitely a Christmas movie as
well. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good one. But those are my
My wife is obsessed with a movie called Fred Claus.
Fred Claus.
With Paul Giamatti and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, she likes that?
Yeah.
It's another horrible Christmas movie.
I agree. I agree. She doesn't listen to this, so I can call her out.
Oh, wait. Another movie that I really like is a Christmas movie that I produced. So I probably should put that on the list. Nothing Like the Holidays. A Latin Christmas film with John Leguizamo.
Alfred Molina. When I worked at Blockbuster, we used to rent that. Nobody ever bought it. Nobody ever rented it. It just sat there on the shelf and collected dust.
Thanks.
Just letting you know.
It's awesome. Thanks. Hey.
I think
you can't win them all, man.
That
not
ended
a lot
up
of
in
Latin.
Like the 99 cent pile, like in
Whatever.
February
you,
after
yeah,
Christmas.
Absolutely did not. And second of all, you don't even have a huge Latino community.
You
got to
remember. You got to remember, it's Blockbuster, dude. Like they overordered everything for so many years. That's why they're out of business.
Oh, that's true. And
so
like
they probably had like
copies.
56 copies of it when the need was to have like four.
Yeah. Well, and technically, I didn't. Yes, my company produced it. I was part of it. I'm in the credits, but I don't want people to be like, "Well, you didn't produce that."
No, you were like the coffee runner on that one, right?
What's that? Yeah. Nope. I got in the credits. I got
the coffee for Mr. Leguizamo every day.
No, I wasn't on set. I was shooting Notorious in New York when we were shooting that in Chicago. So, but no, I'm proud of that movie. It's a good little movie. It's good. It's got a great cast.
I think I shut
it
off after like 10 minutes, if we're being honest.
Well, this is coming from the same guy who likes Surviving Christmas. Okay.
I like what I like, bro. I make no apologies for it.
All right. So those are the Christmas movies. If you got any other recommendations, there is a really cool one from, I want to say, Holland, Rare Export, which is kind of like a horror take, but in a it's a dark comedy where Santa is kind of like a serial killer, but it's not done in like the slasher way. Really well done. You can see it on Netflix streaming. Highly recommend that one. Rare Exports as well.
I'd also like to mention that back in 2011, UltimateSurrender.com did a very special Christmas episode that you can check out at UltimateSurrender.com.
Did it really?
Yeah.
They did a Christmas episode?
The girls wore like Christmas hats and bells Elf on their titties
and
stuff. Yeah.
You know, I've yet to go on that site.
That's a lie.
Why would I lie about it? I've been an open book on this podcast. I have never gone on that site.
No, that's your fault.
I know. Like, I just keep forgetting. I just go to, like, the main site that
I just go right to, you know, twinklovers.com. And I
no,
do my
you know,
business.
It's usually the porn hums or whatever. But I did find that X-Hamster got hacked, and all of those people that have memberships on that, why anybody has membership on free porn sites, I'll never understand. But that, they all those emails and personal information got is going to be released soon. Sucks
nice.
For those guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I recommended
buddy.
That website to Dwayne on the set of Faster. That's right, because we're best friends. We recommend porn sites together, just like you did Ultimate Surrender to me.
Well, no, there's more to them.
Well, whatever. I'm still part of them. Them being
kinda.
The listeners. B-side, what's your choice cut, homie?
You know, I was going to try real hard not to like go back and do like a music thing because it's super obvious, but...
But you have such insight on music that I was just listening to you laying down some tracks for your weekend show, and you're listing songs that I've never even heard of, so I've literally are writing everything down so I can go put it in my Spotify playlist or buy the song. So that's where you know, man. That's awesome. Recommend that crap.
Well, I'm going to go with a Syracuse band by the name of the Stacey White Suite.
Okay.
Sweet as in hotel room, not sweet as in sugary. The Stacey White Suite. They have an album called Stories. It's available everywhere you can buy music. Amazon, iTunes. They've got a Bandcamp, all that stuff. They harken back to the early 2000s and what I like to consider the post-rock scene. Bands like Emery, Coheed and Cambria, Taking Back Sunday. But with less of a pop edge and more heart-on-sleeve emotion. Not emo by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely emotional rock from five of the best dressed guys to ever grace a stage together in my
opinion.
They all
wear the same look. They all got like the white shirt with a bow tie, suspenders.
No, they all dress up. The singer does the suspenders.
I thought they all had it.
No,
they all
like
have a white shirt, though.
Bass player usually wears a paisley shirt with a vest and dress pants. And
all right. Yeah, they're really good.
They're very well dressed. They sound amazing. And
who would you compare them to? Because those other bands, nobody freaking knows those other bands unless they are like you. who would you compare him to on a more mainstream style of music?
All those bands were mainstream, bro. Yeah, Taking Back Sunday, Emery, Coheed and Cambria, three of the top selling bands of the early 2000s.
You are and crazy.
I'm not.
I will. Best selling in what? In regards to like a specific genre of music? Or are you telling me the best selling?
Well, the first two Taking Back Sunday albums went gold, which is 500,000 copies, which even in the early 2000s, it's because you're a weirdo that listened to stupid pop music all the time.
How dare you? In the early 2000s, I was listening to Outkast and hip-hop, man. Or rock songs. Like, I wasn't listening. I've never heard of them. That doesn't mean anything, because I'm not in touch with all music.
All right, I'm going to ask the listeners out there to once this gets posted, explain to Jay that he's part retard for not knowing who Taking Back Sunday and Coheed and Cambria are. How do you not know Coheed and Cambria? They're from like 3 hours away from where you grew up.
Okay, first of all, I don't know anybody local. I tried to get the heck out of that area as soon as I graduated college. I was like, peace, and I went to the West Coast. Second of all, again, I wasn't into the alternative rock music in the 90s. I was more hip-hop.
This was early 2000s, homie.
I know, but the early 2000s, I moved out to L.A. I wasn't, you know, I was out there in 02, 03, so... Second of all, why would you diss mentally challenged people by calling them, referring them to me? Like, that's
part,
wrong.
Just part, not full.
Just part.
You never go full retard.
You're so freaking wrong. I have to be the PC
police. What movie is that from?
What's that?
You never go full retard.
I remember it. I don't.
Tropic Thunder.
I didn't like that movie too much.
One of the greatest comedies of our generation.
You're crazy. Mm-mm. Okay, that's a debate for another show. Tropic Thunder is one of the best.
Booty sweat.
The performance is in it, but the actual plot and the whole third act was just ridiculous. I love the cameos and all that performances. I just thought it was overrated. Wait, so besides me not knowing who those guys are, what other type of artists? Like Silver Sun Pickups? Like
nowhere near that.
Okay.
I mean, the examples I gave are examples that most normal people would know, so I don't feel like I have to justify myself to you.
I'm sorry for my coughing. I'm gonna do a poll on Twitter if anybody's heard of them. I'm telling you, man, nobody's heard of those bands.
Because Coheed and Cambria, over the course of their 8-album career, sold almost 6 million records.
Yes, but you have to remember, we have a lot of younger listeners that aren't into the music.
Coheed and Cambria released an album in 2016 that will probably be in most critics in our world of alternatives top 10.
Okay, that's good to know. Right there, perfect. So they're in that type of genre. Music. All right. I mean, I've heard the band. I've seen them play, so I know what the style. I was just trying to think of more of a mainstream act that people might know.
Coheed and Cambria is as mainstream as you're going to get in comparison to that.
All right, cool. My B-side choice cut of the week, again, where can they find that artist?
What's that?
Where can they buy the artist's music?
Everywhere. Amazon, everywhere, iTunes, Bandcamp,
Reverb Nation. Do they have one album, two albums?
Debut album.
Check it out. All right. Awesome.
The Stacey White Suite.
There you go. B-side, choice cut of the week for Fancy J, soon to be bald Fancy J. It's cold out there, man. It's cold across the country. The only state that's literally above freezing right now is Florida, which happens to be in the 80s. So, you know, I came up with a little idea, you know, snuggle up to that special someone, or if it's your hand or a pet, you know, do that. And I'm going to create a little date night here. So there's going to be a couple of things. One, there's this new limited edition Pop Chips.
Oh, you made me eat them the other day. They were gross.
You liked it. How dare you? That has Asiago. Is that how you pronounce it?
Asiago
and black pepper flavor. They are crunchy. They're not like the regular Pop Chips where it's like a little wafery or pop style. Come on, you're the food guy, so help me talk about this. Super crunchy, very tasty. You do that. You wash it down with this new vodka that I got. It's distilled from sugarcane out of Hawaii. Comes in a super awesome, cool bottle. Ocean Organic Vodka. It is so smooth, and it packs a good punch. Make that, drink that on the cold night, and then snuggle up and watch this awesome movie. Sleeping with Other People. Have you seen this movie yet?
Yeah.
It is really, really good.
I don't think it was that funny.
What? I thought it was funnier than Trainwreck.
Well, it doesn't take much to be funnier than Trainwreck.
Trainwreck was considered a huge comedy success.
Because people have no taste.
Anyway, it's about a good-natured womanizer and a serial cheater from form a platonic relationship. And through that, they kind of reform each other, and they get a mutual attraction. It's got stars Jason Sudeikis and Allison Brie are the leads. It's got Amanda Peet, Adam Scott. and a bunch of others. It is super funny. It's a well-done movie. It's got a really cool story. The dialogue's great. The chemistry between the leads is fantastic. Sleeping with Other People, I think it's on Showtime, so you can get it on demand through that. Or I don't think it's streaming anywhere other place, but just rent it. I highly recommend it. One of the best under-the-radar comedies of last year, easily.
Wrong.
Sleeping with Other People. Hey. The people, the critics, they disagree with you because it sold over 6 million Redbox rentals.
It's because all the good movies were gone.
Oh, you always got an answer for everything. You son of a bitch. All right, let's get into the part of the show where majority of the people that interact with us kind of skip through wrestling.
Yeah.
We've been getting a lot of feedback lately that people just want us to have a show outside of wrestling because they like all the topics where we go and our comments on them. So
yeah, we'll do a secondary podcast called Touching Tips with Fancy Jay and Dixon.
Love it. All right, let's get on that. So Raw.
Are you circumcised?
I am.
Nah.
So you're not?
Yeah, we can't dock.
Wait, what's dock?
Oh, it's when you put the head of your penis into your friend's uncircumcised penis and you pull his skin over your wiener.
What in the blue moon? How do you go from these tangents? I'm talking about how people enjoy our non-wrestling, and the next thing I know, my penis is in another man's uncircumcised skin flu.
It's entirely possible that I have Asperger's.
I think you do. Wait, and how do you know that? And don't tell me you saw it on Ultimate Surrender.
No, it's just on the internet.
So that guys actually do that?
Yeah, gay guys mostly, but
yeah, I would assume. I can't imagine two straight dudes be like, hey, man, let me try to rest my penis in your uncircumcised penis. Let's do this, Johnny.
I don't know. If there was money involved, I'd probably do it.
You would not do it. What? If I offered, what's the amount of money for you to put your penis head in another man's penis head, and you are as straight can be?
$50.
You're so full of it, man.
Give me $50.
If I drop $50 right now, you have a friend that's uncircumcised?
I don't know. It's not something I really talk
about.
Well,
you know, ask around and say you split it with them. They'll give them $25. I'll give you each $50.
All right.
And you have to Facebook Live it.
Yeah, it's illegal, son. No
Is
nudity
it?
On Facebook, yeah.
Fine. Fine, we'll put it up on Ultimate Surrender and we'll give out the link to everybody.
They haven't updated that site in a while, bro.
They haven't?
No.
So was it like circa 2005?
12, I think.
That sucks.
But it's still good.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's for the novelty, man. It's like, it's retro now. It's retro porn, the way they make it these days. All right, so wrestling. Gosh, got me all flustered now with touching tips.
You look a little excited over there from what I can tell.
Yep, that's just my water bottle, you sicko.
Docking. Look it up on the internet.
Docking, that's what it's called?
That's really what it's called, docking.
The stuff that people have to look up by listening to our show is unreal.
Hmm.
I've got between that
I like to
and
consider
people
myself
talking
a mentor.
About crapping in their laying in their crap in the ditch for 3 hours because they didn't clear the snow off. You are an angry, angry little man.
Sometimes.
But you're a funny little man, and I love it. New Day broke the record. Demolition
went out.
You knew
there was a swerve coming, right? Like, you knew that that wasn't it. If they were starting off the show, that there was going to be another match, another angle, another something.
Who knows with those guys, but what I thought they did really well this week was, even though you assumed that they were going to break the record, that the E has screwed over so many people in the past, specifically, you know,
black
wrestlers, that they really teased it well that Cesaro, Sheamus, or for the first round, and then Seth Rollins and Reigns, and then Jericho KO could beat them. So technically, they won the first one, and then, you know, Stephanie's got to screw him over.
I love Big E eating that big bowl of cereal, man.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. So, Mike, I guess my question to you is not so much on the matches, but more of where do you see them going? Okay, they broke the record. They teeter on if they're a face against the club, but then they go heel when it's against Cesaro and Sheamus, or use heel tactics to win. So where do you see them progressing over the next couple of months?
Cesaro and Sheamus will win the titles. They'll feud with Anderson and Gallows. New Day will move on to something else.
You think that's the way it's going to go? You think it's going to be sooner rather than later? You see it like, because they're not wrestling this weekend on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think that they're just trying to make, I think Royal Rumble, they lose the titles.
Rumble? Yeah, they got to do something. The act's getting a little stale, at least them being the champs coming down. If you're going to make a face, have them chase it. with somebody. But if you put it on Cesaro and Sheamus, then they have to turn heel. Because, I mean, the way that they're booking those two guys, they're total face right now.
Right, which is why they would feud with Anderson and Gallows?
Yeah. Yes, long term, I agree with you. I just think that if the New Day loses their belt, you're going to have to see them go after it. Yeah. So if they lose again, because they get a rematch clause. I mean, everybody does that.
It's WWE. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't necessarily really exist. You know these things are just a figment of your imagination, right? You know that I'm a figment of your imagination.
Do you think the New Day docks?
Probably. Big E's got a hog on him, bro. You can see it through the singlet.
There isn't a week that goes by where we don't talk about wrestlers' penises. I honestly...
What?
I'm not even drunk. I can't stop laughing. If I was a listener listening to the two of us jackasses talk about this stuff and always have it go back to whatever wrestler in the ring's penis, like, how do you like these two guys are freaking messed up?
Why is it that you always say penis? Like, it's this clinical thing that you're afraid of.
Dick, cock. Ooh, cock. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to be somewhat of the...
You're trying to be the adult.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Not as raunchy, in case certain people listen.
I don't feel like I'm raunchy. I feel like I'm real.
You're real, but you're raunchy. Raunchy's not a bad thing. But you're real. All right, so what did you think of TJ Perkins? And hold on, I think people are listening to our podcast because we went on a two-week rant about TJ Perkins and his character now on Raw and on
205 Live.
205 Live. He's getting a little edgier and a little bit more, you know, he's not the...
Twink. He's not a twink anymore.
Yeah, exactly. He still does that stupid-ass dab, which has got to go. I mean, literally everybody hates that. Like, even people who did the dab are like, okay, that shit is overblown. Like, just enough. And the way he does it, horrible. But that
super
being said,
effeminate.
He's got a little edge to him now.
I still don't like
for him. It's not my cup of tea, but at least they're trying to change the characters.
I'll take the Rich Swann shuck and jive routine over anything TJ Perkins does for the rest of his life.
Dude, Rick Swann is awesome. I know you don't like. I agree with you as far
as
like
character depth.
Yeah, I think
the
time they're going
to
get it.
Not be the stereotypical black guy that Vince McMahon always makes black people do.
Well. Unfortunately, unless you just say, hey, I'm New Day, I'm going to have my own creative control, that's kind of like what it is, and it's always been that way. I mean, look what stupid Titus is doing right now. Like, I don't even understand what that is. Like,
I don't understand why he still has a contract. He's one of the most useless dudes on the roster.
Yeah. You know who actually is the most underrated black wrestler who's been able to morph his character personalities over the year, decade plus, is Mark Henry. That dude does not get enough credit for, like, when he... Dude, the Hall of Pain or whatever that was, and then, you know, when he did the fake retiring, like, he's been able to change... I'm not saying he's awesome in the ring. And I'm not saying
he's
that
a shitty
super
wrestler.
Talented. What I'm just saying is he was able to adapt his own sexual chocolate. I mean, come on, that's one of the best characters.
But have you noticed that the stuff he's done other than the fake retirement angle is usually some sort of rib that went too far on him?
Oh, yeah, he always gets screwed over in the end.
So
yeah,
whatever.
I'm not talking about like where he ends up. I'm talking about more of like a character that that fans can get behind. He always gets screwed over in the end. All right, so that's kind of – we'll touch more on Raw when we go over the pay-per-view. SmackDown, how you liking your girl Alexa Bliss? It's a pretty good
best
match.
Best butt in the business.
That was a pretty good match with Becky Lynch. You didn't see
it? I don't
it?
Care for Becky Lynch all that much.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Looks?
Both, really. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems like she wrestles the same match every time, no matter who she's working. You know what I mean? She's sort of like the female John Cena to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Or Dean Ambrose?
Yeah. I mean, it just gets to a point where it's routine and cliche, and I get bored with it. At least Alexa breaks it up a little bit. Nia Jax has the big powerhouse routine. As much as I'm not really a huge fan of Charlotte, she at least has an edge and is always coming up with something innovative and new. And I don't know, just waiting to see what happens.
I am so proud of you. You just had like 40 seconds of real in-depth opinion on women's wrestling that wasn't like...
Misogynistic?
Yes, that didn't use any...
Derogatory terms.
Derogatory terms towards women. You know what? I'm proud of you. That's why I love you, man. Every day, slowly but surely, you're going to get a little bit more into wrestling, brother.
Yeah.
Especially when this women tournament comes up. Love it. Yeah, actually, this week really kind of got me on the Alexa train.
You
don't even go that way.
You?
Don't even go there. I know where you're going with that, man. I am. I'm digging what she's doing in the ring. Again, I do not like though how they book the heels for every single belt has to lie and cheat and fake injuries. Just can't they have heels that can be good wrestlers that beat people and then the face has to try to beat them?
They're booking for 12-year-olds. You know that, right?
Well, they're also booking for us.
No.
And that's the disappointing part of it is just that I remember when Sergeant Slaughter was beating Hogan back when he was in the Iraqi days.
92.
Okay. His candy ass was not faking injuries. He was cheating. He was ruthless. He was crazy. And he had the
It's like comparing
man.
The NFL from the early 90s until now. It's two completely different things despite the fact that it's the same.
I know, but I can be upset about that. But anyway, I like what she's doing. I liked it when she had more edge and she was going after people rather than, oh, I'm faking a knee injury, so I got to go in the back. It's like, no, you were talking all this awesome smack against Becky for 2 weeks. Go after her, beat her ass. And then as soon as you get the belt, now you're faking an injury? Like, it's just like you said, it's booking for 12-year-olds, so, hey, you're supposed to hate this person.
Exactly.
And that's weak to me. Two things. I've really thoroughly enjoyed SmackDown this week. The tag team battle royal, which I thought when I saw the teams in it was not going to enjoy, was really, really good. Couple of things. The biggest thing takeaway for me was they made Connor of the Ascension look like a beast, and he did really well. And the people that he threw out, I liked how they did with him, and then we'll get into Luke Harper in the next match, how they're trying to create these big guy beasts, these animal guys who just destroy, much like what Raw's doing with Braun, because SmackDown desperately needs that. And Connor could really be that type of guy. If you got him out of that cheesy freaking costume of the Ascension and he was doing what he was doing, he would be a force against
But he's already got two strikes in the wellness policy.
Yeah, so he just needs one more. So he's got to fly under the radar. Obviously, they like him enough to give him that type of push and for him to be throwing out the people. I mean, he threw out the former tag team champs. He threw out American Alpha, well, one of them. He looked really strong, but I thought it was a really good match. I liked how they booked it. It was a surprise last four or three guys.
And then Zack Ryder blew his knee out, and now they don't have a number one contender again.
So sad, man. So sad. And then freaking Mojo Rawley, that freaking awesome guy. I'm not going to trash him in case we ever have a chance to interview him. But Mojo Rawley comes down, and he's freaking pounding on him, and he's like, yeah, you're the man, dude. And you could just see Ryder being like, dude, I literally legitimately hurt myself. Get off me. They cut away from that. Like, that guy is like, he has got to be on coke mixed with steroids mixed with mollies like 24/7 to have that much hype.
Yeah, it's a character.
All right, so Hype Bros are obviously out for a while. Zack Ryder's going into surgery, which really sucks because his girl, Emelina, is back. So she was out while he was wrestling, and then she comes back, and now he's out. So who do you think is the next team to step up to take on the Wyatts?
I would like it to be American Alpha. I feel like they've been wasted since they've been called up.
But if you do that, then you have them lose to a team that is not going to lose the belts for a while.
It's okay, though. Look what the Steiners did. You know what I mean? Like, same thing when they debuted.
I have a weird feeling, man, that they're going to – that the Usos have been off for a little while because of injuries, that they're going to come back and they're going to turn them face because they were on Talk and Smack and they kind of were – they were portraying themselves as good guys again. I think that they're the Usos are going to come back. Hopefully they don't change their look and go back to all that freaking tie-dye and can continue with their personality, and they at least look a little bit more modern with their attire. But I think it's going to be the Usos that step into that.
I hope not.
I hope not as well. All right, the Fatal 4-Way match, which was really the Ziggler or the Miz AJ segment in the beginning was really entertaining. Like, I just want to see AJ do. I want to see AJ and Miz just be a part of everything because they're just so good, whether they're wrestling or whether they're on the mic. They're just really entertaining. But that segues, obviously, behind the scenes, AJ is injured right now. And
Angle's
so
all jacked.
Yeah, and so they kind of played it off that Dixon's favorite guy,
Ellsworth is sick, so he couldn't wrestle. So they did this for the number one contendership. It was Ziggler, Ambrose, The Miz, and a surprising entry, which I was very excited for, Luke Harper, who had an awesome reveal in the beginning of the show, and then was, and I tweeted this out, God in that match. He was so freaking awesome. The moveset that he did, his facial expressions, I say this every week, he's the best actor facial expression-wise on both rosters. His eyes and his forehead tell a story more than most people can acting. His and how they booked him was just awesome. Whoever booked that show, the match-wise, that show did a really good job to let other guys showcase their talent so their roster can expand and get other people into it. And you know who the MVP of all of that was on the down low was AJ. He put over Harper saying, I don't know much about this guy, but I definitely don't want to see him in the ring. And he said that while he's doing the commentary. And then he went on Talking Smack and said it as well. Like, that's really cool that a guy like AJ goes and does it, because he's portraying and making Harper bigger, you know, just by some simple words.
So, well, they have to build Harper because they're building towards that feud with Orton.
Yeah, and then your boy Eric Rowan is coming back.
I hope not.
They just had a video footage of he's coming back. These tweets. He's got a new mask. Like, so, I mean, where do they go with that? Because he's going to be part of the stable again. So it's
not always.
He has to come back. No, what I'm afraid of is he's going to come back, and then those two are going to feud, and they'll kick Rowan out, or Harper will get kicked out.
Maybe he returns to Raw.
No, I said in the video, it says he's coming back to be part of the Wyatts.
Wow.
He's just like tweaking a couple things, and he doesn't have the sheet mask. He has a new mask now. Whatever. But anyway, your thoughts. You know Luke personally. You've been his biggest advocate as far as his talent, both in and outside the ring. I was really happy to see that. I thought the match was awesome. And Ziggler won it, and so now he's the number one contender.
I'm interested to see Ziggler AJ. I think that's a good matchup. I don't think it's happened yet. They're both athletic. I think it gives Ziggler that one more run to the top, so that right before they force him to retire soon because of the concussions, that he at least goes out in a similar fashion to the way Edge did, which is, you know, reaching for the brass ring, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely going to be an entertaining match, that's for sure. You know they're going to bring it. They're going to do it. They're going to go all out, which they do in every just house show or, weekly show. So I'm excited to see that. You know, if AJ is staying heel for whatever reason why, and Harper obviously is heel, that would have been a tough match, but I'm really looking forward because that's going to happen at some point. I'm really looking for the AJ Harper. I think AJ against those bigger guys, whether it's a Reigns or even a Cena to that point, he just sells them so well. So that's SmackDown. Let's get into the Roadblock, the 18th pay-per-view this month for wrestling, and the 10th for WWE. So this is the first pay-per-view to return to Pittsburgh in nearly 3 years. So we'll just do a little bit of predictions here like we always do. Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens.
Owens.
KO for both. Okay. Are you excited for that match?
Nope.
Sasha Banks, Charlotte for the 30-minute Iron Man match for the women's belt.
Have you noticed that you're just taking every good thing that the men have ever done and putting the girls into the same situations?
Yes. Yeah. And they're doing it like every pay-per-view. So it's almost like, I think what they're doing is getting matches for a DVD set, Sasha versus Charlotte DVD set that they'll release in 2 years. Be like, okay, we got the cage. We got the Iron Man. We've got the title belts going awful. Back and forth. This has got to be the culmination of them battling.
Nope.
They cannot continue on to Rumble and then go to
Mania. No, they still got to do the ladder match. They still got to do Elimination Chamber.
They did do a ladder match at one point.
I guarantee you they do a Women's Elimination Chamber.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
I'd actually like to see that. All right, so who you got? Banks, who's the champ, versus Charlotte?
Charlotte loses.
She's never lost on pay-per-view. She only loses on Raw. So you have Banks. I'm gonna go with I'll go with Charlotte. Just to change it up. Rollins, Jericho.
Rollins.
Jericho for me. Rollins for you. Yes, I'm writing this down, people. Oh, yeah, my man Ricky Swann versus your man TJ Perkins versus everybody's man Brian Kendrick. Triple threat.
Swann retains.
The Swanninator, huh? Gosh, I freaking don't know. Yeah, I guess you go Swann because then you have Perkins, Kendrick have their feud to continue. So I'll go Swann too. Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman, which, by the way, was a really awesome segment between Foley and Zayn. I liked it, man. I like that intensity Foley brings to it. I like it, man. What you got in that?
Braun Strowman.
I'm going to go with Braun. I mean, you're building him up. If he loses his first real match, then what the hell have you been doing for the last six months? So, yeah, I go Braun, too. You think Zayn's going to SmackDown?
Maybe. We'll see.
And then the other thing that we didn't touch on last week that was pretty entertaining, reminded me of the days of the 90s wrestling, Rusev and Enzo.
The shit I hate, dude.
Which is culminated in the match, Big Kaz versus Rusev.
That's the pre-show, brother.
Yeah, but it's still
part of it. It'll be some sort of schmoz.
Schmoz? Who wins, though, of the schmoz?
Think nobody.
No one? I agree. No one. Here's my prediction, though, for all of this. This is the hot take. This is Fancy J's hot take. You heard it here first. I've never read this anywhere. This is how I would book it, and this is what I think is going to happen. Triple H is coming back. He is going to cause Rollins to lose the match to Jericho. That is what's going to start the feud between Triple H and Rollins. Rollins has been calling out H. They haven't ever talked since he put KO over. Okay, that will be a Royal Rumble match. Rollins versus Hunter, probably, and then segue
into Mania. Brother,
Mania.
You're going too soon.
But Hunter comes out. He costs Rollins the match, and then Hunter helps KO win against Reigns. And here's the thing. I think it's all been a ruse. I think Jericho and KO have been putting this all on for the last couple of weeks to make Rollins and Reigns think that they aren't going to help out each other so they can let their guard down. And at the end of that pay-per-view, you will see KO, you will see Triple H, and you will see Jericho all celebrating and holding up belts. That's the way it ends.
I think that's the way the Royal Rumble ends. I don't think that's how this pay-per-view ends.
We'll see. We'll see.
I think you're on the right track, but I think you're a month early.
Maybe. But they've got to do something, and there's a part of me that actually hopes that, or the other way to go is that Jericho is doesn't like Triple H helping him out, and him and KO get in a feud and go. But I'm hoping that this has all been a scam, like that one segment that one week where you thought they were going to fight, and then they're like, you know whose fault it is? Roman Reigns. And then they hugged. I think they're going to be best friends, and I think Triple H is going to help him, and that puts the feud on with them. And then Reigns will have to go after KO for the belt at Rumble because he will have lost the belt, he will lose the belt to Jericho at some point.
Meh. I don't see Jericho getting another world title.
No, not world title. He's the
U.S.
U.S. title. Yeah. Maybe. That's my prediction, man. Triple H, watch it. All right, so that's that. You watch Total Deletion?
I skimmed a little of it, and then I read the bullshit review of it online. I don't know. I from what I hear, the one thing I couldn't find was the Eddie Edwards-Bobby Lashley match. Like, that just doesn't exist on the internet, evidently.
You didn't miss anything, man.
I love Eddie, and to see him be the smaller guy but still able to do all the physical stuff with Bobby Lashley, I'd like to see that. I don't really care about the Hardys. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this whole thing is just a bunch of wrestling nerds making a bunch of hype over something that some wrestling nerds that happen to be in the wrestling business are doing.
100% for that last part, but it's entertaining as hell.
I don't like it.
Here's the thing. I watched it last night, and I was thinking of you while I was watching it because you said that you read the spoilers before you were able to watch some of it. And if I had to read this, I would have been like, this sounds like the dumbest thing in the world. And for a large part of it, it really was. The first hour was, just...
Dude, we're talking about robots and fireworks and bullshit jumping out of trees. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, that's what you do. It's like that universe. You go into that compound, and it's a different type of wrestling universe that they've created through Broken Matt and in his entourage. So it's not like it's not the same type of rules and criteria that you're getting. So the first hour, they couldn't do it all over 2 hours. So the first hour, you have the matches. You have the Eddie Edwards and the Lashleys, and you have his son Maxwell come out and win his first ever match, and he pinned somebody. And so you have all that. And I didn't really enjoy the first hour. I felt like I had to watch it just in case I missed something. It wasn't something that I was totally into. Then the Apocalypto tag team match happened. So I'm just going to give some highlights. One, the Rock and Roll Express were pretty funny. They were so out of shape and so old, but they had some pretty good one-liners in there. That was
one of the most overrated tag teams of all time.
Yeah, everybody loves them. Everybody wants to say that they were able to beat them.
They sucked. Robert Gibson was hands down one of the worst workers of that generation.
What's he, the blonde or the...
The brunette.
The brunette guy. He took most of the bumps, too.
Yeah.
In it. The firework battle between Abyss and Vanguard 1, which is the drone, was so stupid, though. It was awesome. But the way that they shot, I'd say the biggest thing of this, it felt like an actual movie production on a low budget. The cinematography, the camera work was stuff that you don't see. The aerial shots, the panning, the camera swooping around, the wrestlers and Reby playing on the piano. It was really, really well done production wise.
Reby Sky?
Yeah. Who was one of the cool things at the end was that she announces that she's pregnant. So I'm wondering if it was all just a big thing to say, hey, we're having our second kid. It was all, that's why they did it.
It'd be great if it turns out it's Jeff's.
With these guys, I wouldn't be surprised they go in that direction. Hurricane showing up and saving the Hardys was pretty entertaining. I like that guy.
You know, he's a backstage agent there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I liked him going back into that persona to save the Hardys and bury his team. The best part of the whole thing was when Broken Matt and Hurricane show up, they bury Lee and Everett, and Matt says, even the man with three H's would be proud of how we buried this promising young talent. And they both turn to the camera and give that cheesy smile and thumbs up. Freaking hilarious, man. Like that little stuff, yes, us nerdy wrestling guys are gonna, we get off on that, you know? All of our tips touched at that moment. We all... What's it called?
Docking.
We all docked at that moment. We all docked. So that was really good. Things I didn't like. They kept hyping up all these amazing different teams that were going to show up from all these different wrestling organizations. Blah, blah. Dude, I didn't even know half of these people. I'm just like, whatever. Like, I didn't really even care. Like I said, the first hour, Decay killing people, like breaking necks and eating them. I'm sorry, I don't like that in my wrestling world. I know that kind of fits in that world, but it's too over the top for me, man.
Stupid.
It's so stupid. And there's going to be some idiot kids out there who are going to be like, hey, man, they did that, so let's do it at two. And two is, or lastly, and you're going to hate me on this, I don't get Eddie Edwards. I don't get the hype, man. He's boring. Like, he's just
you're
a little dude
mind.
Who does a bunch of crazy knees, very a la Daniel Bryan, New Japan style.
He is a better version of the Dynamite Kid.
He just has no personality. I haven't seen a personality. In the ring, I'm not saying he's not talented. It's just boring. And then you're going against Lashley, who can do some stuff, but he has no personality. He's just the guy who squashes people. So, you know, and then those two in this world, and then they're in the ring, and then Lashley spears them through the wall. They go outside, and they fight on the compound, and then they cut away. They're like, they're going to go all night. And then they cut to the tag team match, and you don't ever know who won that match. Technically, they're still fighting right now.
Yeah.
So it was weird. It was entertaining. It was something different. The ratings weren't the greatest. They went up like 600,000 from previous, but the buzz on it and the buzz online was that everybody enjoyed it. So
yeah,
it's something to get TNA. So
we're running a little short on time here. So let's condense.
We're not going to do the number 11 favorite.
We'll do that next week.
Yep. So
I think we'll skip the Would You Rather 2 until next week.
Oh, I had such a good one. I barely have any.
Is it
news.
Quick?
Yep. That's what she said. Okay. Would you rather, Dixon, never orgasm again or your significant other can never orgasm again while you make love?
Be me.
Be you?
Yeah.
You would go your rest of your life having sex and pleasuring and never being able to have that feeling.
Yeah,
because
I'm that
dude. That includes jerking off.
Yeah, I get off more on seeing the other person enjoy.
It's very giving of you.
That's
not
just how I am, bro.
Now, do you think if you didn't have this mindset where you could last very long and be okay with not.
No, it'd be the same thing. I've always gotten off more on getting the other person off than getting myself off.
Yes.
It's like a power thing.
Absolutely. But to know that you'll never experience that feeling again.
It's happened millions of times already. Like, I'm good.
All right. There you go. All right. And then everybody's new favorite segment, and I'm just going to back away from the microphone. Who does Dixon hate this week?
Oh, God. Here's the thing. If you're one of those people that makes statements on social media, like if you post spoilers about The Walking Dead or Star Wars, we're not friends anymore. Go fuck yourself. Because if you feel like you have any sort of power over me to tell me what I can and can't do in my own social media world, then you've got your head stuck so far up your own ass that you can probably, I don't know, go ahead and die now. Like, here's the thing. Okay, don't die. Jay's going to tell me not to wish death upon you, but like,
have them crap themselves in a ditch. Everybody like that.
Yeah, I hope you develop a weird facial twitch.
HPV. Yeah. HPV.
No, because nobody will see that. I wish Tourette's upon you. I wish that you get Tourette's to the point where every time you see another human being, you have to blurt out something embarrassing about yourself that's happened over the last couple of weeks. Anyway, so it's just these self-righteous cocksuckers that go online and it's just like, okay, cool, dude. Like, why do I have to not use my social media to the fullest extent that I can because of you and your inability to watch anything in a reasonable amount of time? Here's an idea. How about you use some of that stuff called willpower? Maybe not scroll through your social media, check your messages, check your friends' requests, and go fuck yourself, because I'm going to post whatever I want on my Facebook page, and that includes spoilers. So eat a dick. Are we clear? Good. Moving on.
Alrighty then, that was a segment of Who Does Dixon Hate This Week? So, real quick,
I hate them every week, it's not just this week. It just so happened that Rogue One came out, and I've, God, there's so many people I want to stab in the throat.
Because they're all saying don't spoil
Yo,
it.
Yo, nerds, here's a spoiler for you with Star Wars. The Empire Strikes Back, best one ever, you'll never touch it again. There you go.
Or, hey, here's another spoiler. They get the plans of the Death Star.
Yeah.
That you know the ending of the movie. So shut the hell up and just sit back and watch it. All right? Like, just shut up. Sorry, I got into your little segment there. I agree.
You
with
didn't
you.
Seem nearly as angry, but.
Well, you know, it's hard to get worked up.
Let's jump into your bullshit news.
Just to follow up, Booker T can run for mayor of Houston. By the way, hilarious mugshot where he's full on smiling
right?
and all happy. It was in 1987, but once a felon's civil rights are restored, and that depends on the case and depends on how long after the crime and the type of crime, he can run for office or she can run for office. So he can technically run in Houston.
Sorry, Mr. Hoffman. I just made an assumption based on your criminal past.
Lana looks like she's heading to NXT to focus on her wrestling for a little bit. Brock suspended 1 year from UFC for drug violations and fined $250,000. Do you ever see him returning to UFC?
Nope.
You see him returning to Bellator?
He'll probably end up wrestling or fighting in Bellator, yeah. I would love to see him in Lashley, man. That's my dream match.
Him and Lashley? Yeah, that would be awesome. The coolest news of the week. Thursday, WWE had a press conference from London. Triple H announced they will crown the first ever United Kingdom champion, a 16-man tournament. It will air on the network in January. What makes this super cool is the former Ring of Honor matchmaker, Nigel McGuinness, was on hand. He is going to be part of it. He's going to book the matches. He's also going to co-host with Michael Cole. He was in that wrestling group of Cesaro and Daniel Bryan,
CM Punk,
Tyler Black. Tyler Black, Seth Rollins loves
Chris
him.
Hero.
So, but because of injuries, he had to kind of retire early. That's what they say. So, but him now being part of the E and part of this, I'm really excited because there's a lot of talent out there, untapped talent that we haven't seen on the state side.
I agree.
So that's a really cool tournament I'm looking forward to. And then the other thing lastly is in a recent radio interview, Shawn Michaels was asked about the dream match between him and AJ at Rumble. He said it would be awesome. He would love to hear the crowd reaction, the home crowd reaction in Texas. He never said he wasn't going to do it. He never said that he wouldn't do it. He just said he thinks the E has moved on. Meanwhile, he's down in NXT. So
it's all a ruse, people.
You think he's gonna do it?
Yeah.
Oh, that match would be so awesome. That would be a great match. That's it, man. Quick news. All right, cool. So you can
tell everybody where we are.
Follow us on Twitter at B Show Wrestling. Follow us on Facebook and like our page at the B Show, a wrestling podcast. Like, converse with us. Dixon is more on Facebook. Twitter is usually me. You can email us for questions, thoughts, segments at the B Show, a wrestling podcast at Gmail. Subscribe, download, and review. Talk to us. Tell other people to check it out. And that's it, man.
Oh,
enjoy
that's
it.
Not it. It's entirely possible there may not be a podcast this week because of Christmas.
Nah, dude, we're going to do a podcast.
We'll try, but it might be a truncated version. So
yeah, it'll be. Well, you know what? We should just do one with no wrestling.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll talk maybe we'll pay-per-view if it's something cool. But if not, other than that, we'll just do one or not wrestling.
Cool.
All right?
All right. You all go out, get your pee hole swabbed. Peace.